We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're joined on the line with Elliot Friedman. Good day, Elliot.
Good day, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. So I wanted to tell you, if I were to say to you that you knew what Elliot voice was, would you have any idea what that means?
No, I don't. But I'm nervous to find out, I have to tell you.
No, it's great. We have a group chat here. And Marty sent something to the group last week, and I responded. I said, here it is here. He said he had a comment about Toronto and trading for a defenseman, and we had this long conversation going. And I said, yes, Martin, and then in brackets, in Elliot's voice. He'll also want to KO someone with a hit when he comes back. That was the response. But I say Martin like the way you say it when you say Martin when he's on the show. He was on earlier today, but I think he ran off. He was afraid of you. How was the All-Star game?
You know, it was pretty good. The weekend was good. You know, the worst thing about All-Star Weekend is actually the game. Everything else about it is really fun. There were 5-hour lineups there to get a picture with the Stanley Cup. I thought the stuff with the alumni was great. I think if the skills competition was about 30 minutes less, I think it would be perfect. I like a lot of the events. They just have to fix the game. And guys, I don't know if it's fixable. You guys play at a high level. You know how hard it is to compete. I just don't know if you're ever going to get an all-star game that is competitive enough the way the league is now.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. I stand by what I say. You need to give them like a Maserati or a Ferrari or something to each player on the winning team. I don't care, like, who's not going to play for a free Ferrari? I mean, they all get $100,000, but they're all millionaires anyway. I mean, like, it $60,000 after tax to a guy. I mean, it's like it's just an added little, hey, but you get a Ferrari? I guarantee.
I understand that, though. But you're losing the point. These are superstar players that a lot of these guys are playing an extreme amount of minutes on their own team. They're banged up and tired, just like everyone else. And to go to a game that means absolutely nothing, where, hey, if you win, you win a Ferrari. What about the guys that don't win and put all the effort in after the weekend? I just don't. There's just it. The game is nonsense.
Maybe they get a Buick. I don't know.
What was that?
Thanks for coming out.
Some nice Buicks out there.
Elliot, no, but I'm saying it's not the same as a Ferrari is what I'm saying. You know, right. Elliot, were the All-Star games not competitive once upon a time?
They were, but don't forget that, you know, the players weren't making the money that, you know, they're making now. This is, I mean, the NBA All-Star game used to be an incredibly competitive game. Now it's a shell of itself. You know, the Pro Bowl, you'll never have the Pro Bowl be a great game because nobody's, after what you do, put your body through during the regular season and playoffs, nobody's going hard in that game. Even baseball, I mean, it used to be a really competitive game. They tried to make home field in the World Series matter through it, which I thought was a terrible idea. But the reason was is that people don't take it seriously. I mean, what's the All-Star for, okay? It's for the cities, it's for the fans, like those people who line up to get their picture taken with the Stanley Cup. You know what I loved? I loved on Friday night when they were doing the shooting stars and they had the players walking through the crowds to get up to the platform. Like, that's what the All-Star game has to be about, is, you know, kissing babies, maybe getting an opportunity to have some fun at an event like that. You know, my flight down from Toronto, there were some people on it who were guests of the NHL or sponsors. They're bringing their kids. They love that. We just have to accept that it's a fun, not competitive weekend. And if there's competition, it's in like things like the hardest shot. Like Matthew Barzal, he wanted to beat McDavid. Shea Weber, he wanted to win the hardest shot. And I will never stop with this, but one more time, I want to see Chara and Weber, four-time champion versus three-time champion, head-to-head in the hardest shot competition. I don't understand why that can't be made to happen.
Last night, Elliot Friedman joining us here on the line every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Last night, do you think the Battle of Alberta lived up to the hype?
Oh yeah. I mean, we're not at 1980s level yet. I don't know if we could ever get back to that, but it was good. That's two really good Calgary-Edmonton games in a row. They play again on Saturday night. I'd like to say something about Matthew Tkachuk. I know people were upset at him, but, you know, there were people calling him a coward and whatever. That guy's no coward. He's a great player. And I thought last night, on a night where he knew he had to answer, not only did he do that against a guy who's out of his weight class, guys, but he played a great game. He was a factor. And I just look at a guy like that, and anybody who looks at him and says, he can't play for my team, they're nuts.
100%.
Yep. And what do you expect in Saturday's game? Do you think there's going to be the hatred, or are they just going to move on from this and start to play some hockey?
You know, Craig, I think there's still going to be hatred because the games matter. The problem is that the two teams haven't been good at the same time for a long time. And now you look at that Pacific Division, and these games matter. These are playoff games. And the other thing, too, is if you watch the game last night, you know, McDavid got that knee-to-knee and there was no call. And he was furious. And I don't know if that's going to lead to any on-ice retribution or anything like that. But the Oilers were pretty mad about that whole thing. And so was McDavid. I mean, that's the knee that McDavid worked so hard to get healthy. I understood his frustration. You know, Craig, I was thinking about this a lot last night when I was driving home, and I'd like to hear your opinion. Mark Giordano was a Norris Trophy winner last year. He was also involved in the last injury with McDavid. I don't think for a second that Giordano is dirty. I think he's trying to play him as best he can. I don't think either incident was on purpose. But I think it illustrates that even for the guy who last year was the best defenseman in the NHL, how hard it is to play against McDavid, his speed. If you don't get the right gap, it can look like you're trying to injure him, or McDavid can get hurt just because of how he plays. And you're not even trying. But I think that's got to be a penalty. I think it's unfortunate for Giordano. I just think it shows how hard it is to properly play that guy.
Yeah, I mean, when Connor McDavid is skating at the speed that he does, the attack that he does, it's extremely difficult on defensemen. Number one, Giordano was standing still. He wasn't even moving. That's the other thing. He wanted to make the body check to take a piece of Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid sidesteps. And Giordano, any defenseman in the National Hockey League, they're not looking at taking a knee out or injuring. They're just looking at getting a piece of that player so you don't get beat. It may look dirty. I don't think it was a dirty play on Giordano.
Got to get rid of it, though. I mean, that's the offensive chance that's taken away. McDavid gets by him, he's gone, and that's what we want in the game. I don't want to see McDavid potentially get hurt. If a guy misses him, he misses him. Elliot, you pointed out something perfectly last night with Jamie Benn of avoiding a hit. I mean, how many players would have gone and run that guy over behind the net? Instead, he sidesteps and jumps around him.
Well, first of all, I'm not used to being told I did something right, so I really appreciate that, Andrew. Thank you. I have to say that, you know, there were a couple of people. One guy texted me and wondered if Ben didn't do it because he saw Radulov there too, which is probably legit. But, you know, Jamie Benn, he puts his body through people, and he did it last night, and he could have killed Muzzin there. And I bet when you guys played, Andrew, you would have delivered that hit, and Craig, you would have expected it. And I think it just shows that in some ways they're really trying to teach the mentality that you can still have a physical game, but we don't have to kill people here. And especially with the understanding of the damage it can do, I think 20 years ago, Ben delivers that hit. I think now I think guys are trying to be a little bit more aware of the predatory kind of plays.
I think 20 years ago, I think anyone delivers that hit, even if Radulov is there or not, because it looks even better when you take out both your players.
No question.
Tkachuk took out Giordano and Cassie in that one hit when a couple games ago, when he first charged down, he took out both his guys. absolutely finish that check. Elliot, your 31 thoughts came out yesterday. I'll read what yours says. I'll read the first paragraph. It says the Sabres resumed their season with a 5-2 home loss to Ottawa on Tuesday night. At All-Star Weekend, I heard some talk of frustration around the organization and how much the losing is wearing on owner Terry Pegula. We're coming up to 9 years since he bought the Sabres. At the media conference, he promised to spend, which the Sabres had fans dancing with joy. He spent on players, coaches, executive scouting, everything. They made the playoffs that first season, losing in 7 games to Philadelphia, but there have been no playoff berths since, and the team is 80 games under 500 in that span. Players credited Ralph Kruger with changing the attitude around the team, and Jack Eichel's having a Hart Trophy caliber season. But there are 10 points out as we wake up on Wednesday, and there are no easy answers. The disappointment is not going unnoticed.
Yeah, Andrew, I was at the All-Star Weekend, obviously, this weekend, and someone who was league-affiliated came up to me and said, how often have you been in Buffalo this year? And, you know, I told him, I think I've been there twice. And he just said, like, the league, I think, senses the frustration in the market. And we actually and the conversation turned to, like, if you look at the outdoor game this year in Nashville, Dallas, what TV market had the best ratings? Locally, Buffalo, the best share. And everybody knows the Sabres have great fans. And you are a market that really supports hockey. And I think that, you know, there's nobody here who wants to do a bad job for the Sabres. Not the owner, not the general manager, not the coach, not the players. And I wasn't looking to place blame as much as I was pointing out that I think everybody notices the frustration. Like, I know the fans are frustrated. I know you guys are frustrated. I know the players are frustrated. The coach, the GM, everybody, they want to be better. Jason Botterill has tried to do the whole year, try to make a deal to make the Sabres better, and he hasn't been able to do it for the most part because there's very few deals happening in this league.
Can I stop you right there?
Frustration is everywhere. Like, see it. You guys want to be better, but there's no easy answers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, I look at, like, what are some of the other fan bases like? I mean, like, what's going on in Winnipeg? Because you always hear they're looking for a defenseman. They lost all those guys. I mean, are our fans barking out there? Because they've been top of the league the last couple of years, and now they're on the outside. They're hunting at a wild card spot, but I mean, now anything can happen. But I'm just wondering, like, what are some of the other markets that have high expectations? Like Nashville, they have a good market. Minnesota, San Jose. I mean, there are a lot of teams that probably should have made deals. Where are these trades? I mean, Winnipeg's been in trade talk to try to save their defense corps for quite some time, and they can't even get a deal done.
Well, Winnipeg's situation is unique because they've got that whole Bufflin thing there. He's got a $7.6 million cap hit, and you just don't know what's going to happen with it. Like, that's the situation that's kind of thrown them into a bit of roster chaos all year. You know, I think fans are frustrated everywhere. I mean, personally, I think Paul Maurice has done an unbelievable job. Connor Hellebuck's been the star of that team. But I think Maurice has done an unbelievable job trying to set a positive tone all year. But I know fans there are really unhappy with him. But the thing is, here's the difference, okay? San Jose's missed the playoffs, what, twice in 17 years, okay?
Yeah.
Winnipeg was in the Western Conference Final 2 years ago. Nashville was in the Stanley Cup 3 years ago, and they're a consistent playoff team, even though, you know, going into last night, they've had a really rough year. The difference between all of those teams you've named and yourself, Andrew, is that you guys have missed the playoffs for 9 straight years. And yeah. I think that And the point I'm trying to make is that I think you guys have tried to do everything right. You've spent money. You've changed coaches. You've changed GMs. You've remember when under the previous ownership how tight the scouting was. Well, the Pegulas have spent money on scouting to try to change the way you do things. I think it has all been done with the best of intentions. And I think that's what some people were talking to me about on the weekend, is that they're sitting there and they're saying, Buffalo has tried to do the right things. Now, whether they work out or not is different, but Buffalo has tried to do the right things. And it just doesn't seem to work. And they understand why the frustration's there. I don't think anyone's blaming anyone necessarily. I think they're just sitting here and saying it's a horribly frustrating situation, and everything you try to do to fix it, it just doesn't work. And so you're caught in this quicksand, and you're searching for ideas. How do we get out of it? Now, I should say, I got a note last night from somebody who said that, they didn't like the fact that I painted that particular picture. They said it's no different than any other year. I'm just telling you that at All-Star, I had people who were league-related saying it to me, which I thought was unusual.
That's, you know what? Like, I went back and I looked at all the teams, like, when Buffalo was good, and I'm, you know what? There's a pattern as to how they get good, and it's number one, it's not getting big-time free agents. I mean, because, you know, you go back and look at the – Riv doesn't like talking about 05, 06, and 06, 07, Elliott. But, I mean, all those were all trades or draft picks. I mean, like, you know, the free agent signings, it's tough. It's a tough market to lure a big-time free agent unless you're going to significantly overpay. Well,
how'd you get Danny Briere?
Trade.
How'd you get Drury?
Trade.
I mean, you
but a lot, right. But the trades have to work out, though. I mean, no one ever thought that Chris Gratton for Danny Briere was going to work out the way it did. I mean, Danny Briere was.
That's right.
That was a shot in the dark, and it hit. I mean, Drury trade was, I think, calculated.
But then you look at your core that you got brought up with, Vanek and Pominville and Miller and Derek Roy, and you just keep going on and on. Those were all draft picks. You have to build through the draft. You have to develop your players. That's the most important.
Elliot Friedman joining us. Sorry, go ahead, Elliot.
I just want to say I agree with that. You have to draft and develop. And because you know what, guys, it's hard to trade now. Like, this whole league is so close to the cap. It's hard to make trades.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. The another thing we want to talk about, too, the Seattle Kraken, Elliot?
I hope so. Like, I got to tell you, I've been joking that I've been calling them that. I love it. I think the Kraken is a great nickname. I really do. I love it. Now, I know
so
it. I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's actually the name. I know it's on the list, though. Like, it is definitely one of the contenders. I don't know that it's actually the name. There was a guy last night who sent me a couple of patent notes out there. Like, I don't know who owns them. I'm trying to figure that all out. But there's like a patent out there for the Seattle Sasquatch. But I don't know if that's Seattle doing that or somebody kind of sitting on the patent to try to make some money out of it. But I do think Kraken is in the conversation. I just can't. And I also think that the name will be announced sometime before the playoffs. But I can't tell you 100% the Kraken's in.
Holy yeah. Julian, I hope there's not a Sam Squamch. Anybody know that? Yes. Thank you. You know Trailer Park Boys, Elliot?
Of course. That was very good.
That was Bubbles. I got to hang out with him one night in Toronto. Absolute beauty of an
hung
individual.
Hung out with him in Montreal one night.
Ah, there he goes. There's Riv the Topper.
And he wore his glasses, too.
Topper. Leafs are investigating every good defenseman on the market. I mean, you mentioned Matt Dumba, but, I mean, the Sabres have a couple righties.
Yeah, I'm sure. Put it this way. Everybody who is available that Toronto could get, preferably with term, they've looked at. I think what they were waiting is to see how good they were out of the All-Star break. They just had two real good games back-to-back. They beat Nashville and Dallas and played pretty well on the road and winning those two games. If they play like that, I could see them going after a right shot D or a D who can play the right side for sure.
Do you like the idea of the league playing games in Russia?
I do. Some people really hate the politics of it. Fine. I mean, I get it. But I think guys like it would be, apparently it was going to be St. Louis, Washington. You know, I think it would be a great showcase for the NHL, and tell me how Ovechkin doesn't deserve a home game. Just tell me how.
Pittsburgh, Washington, that would be a good one.
That's what I thought. I thought that would be incredible. But apparently it was St. Louis.
Yep. Tarasenko, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thoughts on Chris Kreider? Is he going to be remaining a Ranger, or is he going to test the market, you think?
Well, the guys at All-Star were telling me that they think Kreider wants to stay. They think that he likes being a Ranger. And, you know, players sometimes have different insights than everybody else does. You guys tend to know each other better. They think he wants to be a Ranger. I think the Rangers will make a pitch to him. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes in around 5-6 years, somewhere between $6.5 and $7 million. I think it'll be interesting to see what Kreider and his representative says to that. But I think the toughest thing is, and someone said this to me yesterday, they're like, you know, you putting that out there in the blog probably gets the Rangers better offers. And I think that's going to be the question, is do the Rangers get an offer that they can't say no to? And then it comes the old question, can you try to trade him and see if you can get him back in the offseason? It doesn't happen very often, but it can. I think the biggest question is, are the Rangers going to get the godfather offer they can't refuse?
It's been a disappointing season when it comes to trades all the way around. Was it last year we got the Duchesne trade?
Yes.
Was that 2 years ago?
It was two years ago.
What big time deals happened? Like, I'm just reading your Brian Burke comment here. He's telling you that every year is a dud. He was right last year.
No, Mark Stone right at the deadline. There was a big one right there.
Yeah, I mean, still, you know, it's not like really, really exciting for anybody else other than Vegas. Well,
I'll tell you this, Andrew. I know people don't like the rental market this year. They don't like the rental players that are available. Now that Taylor Hall's off the board, I think Kreider is probably the other guy right now who's got some excitement. But the number one D is probably Sammy Vatanen from New Jersey. And there's an acceptance that the guy can really score, but is he a difference maker? You know, I've had more people tell me that they like Dylan DeMello as a depth player than just about anything else. So I don't think there's a ton of interest in, like, Tyler Toffoli. His trade value has really gotten low. I don't think there's a ton of excitement in a lot of these guys who are rentals. We'll see if guys with term end up going.
I'm going to break Riv's heart here, but is Josh Anderson to the Islanders at all true?
I would say most likely if Anderson gets moved, it happens around the draft, but he's an Islander type player. But if you're Columbus and you're battling for the playoffs, you've got to make me a pretty good deal to get me to give up Josh Anderson.
That's Riv's guy, Elliot. That's the guy. Riv would sell the farm, with the exception of Jack and Darlene.
Yep.
To get this
guy,
I
like
on
Anderson.
The team.
He hasn't had a great year, though, Craig.
That's all right. That's all right. You know what? We're hockey players, and things like that happen. He's dealing with some injury right now. We don't know how he was when he actually came back and started to play. It's certainly not indicative of what he's done in the past. One goal in 26 games. But I'll tell you right now, I'll take the flyer on him, and he's a player that would go very well with what skill set we have in Buffalo right now. We have a lot of skill. Jack Eichel, the Sam Reiner, Skinners, Olofsson, I mean, but they're all a little bit, they're softer, they're highly skilled. We need some size, we need some speed, and we need some aggression and guys that can score. Mm-hmm. And he has all those.
All right, Elliot. Hey, when you roll into All-Star Weekend and you open up your hotel room door, do you have like a pamper package in there? Do you have like a bag of swag and like a fruit basket and some booze or something? Or like, do they take care of you, or are you just, it's normal? Welcome.
Not
to the hotel.
This time. It's happened before. It did not happen this time. St. Louis does not recognize my greatness. I guess that's what it is.
Elliot, thanks for your time. We do, though, here on the Instigators. We definitely
thanks,
do
guys.
Recognize your greatness and appreciate it very much. So enjoy your day. Oh, Ribs wants to say one more thing.
No, I was just going to say, you remember we used to walk into certain hotels and they would all be standing there with the hot towels?
No.
You don't remember that?
I think those were the spas after the hotel. Like you guys would go get guys would go to like the
no.
Like no, they go and get like they go to the spas.
Oh,
like
you would walk into a certain hotel and I can't remember which ones they were, but you would they'd be standing there with a nice hot towel after you got off the plane and the bus and this and that, and you just like you're rubbing your face down. It's just like, wow, this is amazing.
I don't think that ever happened, but thank you for sharing that. Elliot, thanks for your time, and we are all now dumber for having to hear that, and may God have mercy on your soul. Elliot, take care. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Instigators, you never know what Rivs is going to say.
I can't handle you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We'll be right back, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.